So what were you thinking when you saw that video? So Virgin Galactic is a company started by Richard Branson. You know of him from Virgin Atlantic Airlines and Virgin Records and all these things that he's done. And the company is in the race to be the first space tourism company. Hello, space tourism. Is that crazy? That is crazy. And that was just a little preview of what your kids and grandkids might be doing in the very near future. Pretty wild, huh? I mean, this stuff is happening before our very eyes. It's awesome to actually have access to that video footage of the space flight, isn't it? It's awe-inspiring to watch that. I don't know if you knew this already, but there is already a spaceport built in New Mexico, ready to go. And this video showed Virgin Galactic's second successful launch to space and back in the spaceship known as Unity. And the way it works is, you saw there's a two-vehicle system, and there's this carrier plane. The big plane is called the White Knight, and it takes the spaceship up to around 50,000 feet, and then it drops it. And that flight that you just saw took place in February of 2019. The first space tourists are expected to go up later this year. Oh, and by the way, the current price for a ride up is set at $250,000 per ticket. So I was thinking that for the next Pastor's Appreciation Day, October 11th, sorry, I'm hopeful for a gift that's out of this world, okay? At least I could pray for that. Now, my point of showing you this video is simple, all right? It takes rocket fuel and a ship and good piloting to reach space, but it took a lot more than that to accomplish such a noteworthy achievement, didn't it? It took many years of hard work to get up there, innovation, tremendous effort and risk, and even lives lost. It's already cost hundreds of millions of dollars to make that happen. They actually did lose one ship in previous testing, and one pilot lost his life. But a company like Virgin Galactic forges ahead against all odds, against the doubters and the naysayers, because of one extremely important factor, maybe the most important, and that's this. They believe that this can happen. They believe that this can happen. They believe it will happen. They believe that they can reach the heavens even though we're standing on earth. And so they have a clear purpose, and they've stopped at nothing to accomplish it. And that's how the future is paved, right there. You know, we've been in a series called The 40 Days of Prayer. And this is the type of mindset we need when it comes to prayer. As we endeavor on a journey with God through life, one of the most important factors to its success in your life is that you must believe that things can happen when we pray. We must believe that prayer can work. I mean, otherwise, you won't take very many shots at sending up prayer. You won't send anything up, and you won't try. But we have a fascination with reaching outside the bonds of gravity and the boundaries of earth, and trying to overcome what seems impossible. But just as this rekindled space race for tourism has finally reached beyond Earth's atmosphere, we also have the ability to reach outside the bonds of our flesh, outside the borders of our country, and outside the limitations of human ability when our lives are fueled by the power of prayer. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your prayers are heard? Do you believe that they launch to the highest heavens? Sometimes we don't act like it. Instead of a spaceship, our prayers are more like a bottle rocket. Right? And our prayer journey doesn't last very long. Bzoom! We just shoot a couple up to the Lord now and then. Zoom! That's my best bottle rocket impersonation. Zoom! They don't go very high, they come down. Guilty as charged. Okay? What does it take to achieve a deeper prayer life? It takes an earnest effort. It takes hard work. It takes being active in prayer. It takes knowing the manual. I mean, those pilots had to study the manual and everything about space in order to be successful. We got to do the same thing with God's word. Amen to that. But it takes being confident that prayer can work. And so sometimes what that looks like is a whole lot different than what it sounds like. Especially when you're staring down what looks like insurmountable odds. And it's hard. And so I want to move into scripture here. I want to give you an example of facing insurmountable odds. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts 12. And we're going to preach out of Acts 12. Great story here. Here we find the Apostle Peter in prison. And here's what happened. The church had started to gain some ground and experience some success. And it came off the back of persecution. In fact, when you read God's word, you'll see that every time major persecution struck, the gospel just spread like fire. So by this time, we get to Acts 11, we actually find that Paul and Barnabas, this tag team of evangelists, have been sent out, and they're teaching the gospel to large groups of people in Antioch. And Antioch is like 300 miles away from Jerusalem. And so this is a pretty big deal because up until this time, the gospel had been preached to the Jews only. But now even the Gentiles are hearing the word of God and responding, and they're turning to Christ in large numbers at the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. All the hard work is finally paying off for the young church. But it was at that time, it was at this time that King Herod started arresting some followers of Christ. And Herod inflicts a devastating blow on the church, which is recorded at the very beginning of Acts. Herod arrests and kills James, the brother of John. We don't hear much about this story, only that it happened. But this was significant because this was the first apostle that was killed. The first of the 12 original disciples of Christ. And that's a big deal. So Herod ruled over all of Judea and Samaria and Galilee and all the rest of the areas of Israel. And he was literally the king of the Jews. He ruled every part of it. So he wasn't about to continue to let the message of some other king spread much longer. He was prepared to stamp it out, and he won a lot of favor from the non-Christians, from the Jews, with the move to take out James. And when he killed James, it gained him a lot of popularity. It sounds a little bit like a political move, doesn't it? So it worked for him, and so he proceeded to arrest Peter right afterward. And his plan for Peter was to do the very same thing. He was going to kill him. And so Peter was placed in prison. And he was treated a little bit abnormally, not like other prisoners. Herod put four squads of four soldiers each guarding Peter on a rotation. Not only that, but he also shackled him to two other soldiers in the jail cell while other soldiers stood guard at the gates. I mean, that's a bit of overkill, don't you think? A jail cell should have done the job just fine. But this scene looks more like, you know, having captured the world's most notorious criminal or something like that. But no matter what, the odds that Peter was going to die were stacking up, and the church was still coming off the sting of losing James. And they were about to lose Peter as well. Well, what do you do when the odds stack up against you? What do we do now? What do we do when there seems to be no way out of our situation? When we feel shackled by insurmountable odds, sometimes the only thing we can, and I want to direct your attention to Acts 12, verse 5, says this: so Peter was kept in prison, but the church, everybody say that, but the church. Let's say it again. But the church was earnestly praying for God for him. The church was out there, and they were giving it their best shot. And they were putting in some serious effort, and they were praying into the night and into the early hours of the morning. And the beautiful thing about this passage that I love is that we get kind of the video footage of what actually took place while prayer was at work. And you don't always get that, but you get it in this story. And it comes right down to the wire, down to what could have been the final night of Peter's life. And so I want to read through Acts 12, verses 6 through 10. And here is the story. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Amen. What an awesome story we find in Acts 12. What I want you to see here is that there are two things going on simultaneously, okay? There's the space flight, and then there's the launch team, right? There's the miraculous prison escape happening, but there's this team of people gathered, fueling this thing with the power of prayer. And Luke, the disciple who wrote this story, he really didn't have to include the fact that the church played a role in Peter's escape. I mean, he could have just relayed Peter's testimony, right? He could have just said that. He could have just said that an angel came and set him free. But had he done that, he wouldn't have told the whole story. And I love it. It's almost as if the prison escape is only there to show us what is actually taking place while we pray. And here is what takes place while you earnestly pray. Angels are dispatched. Chains are broken. Prisoners are set free. God's word is advancing. And ultimately, God's will prevails. Amen? Listen, when we have prayer behind us, we can do great things. When somebody cares, God hears our prayers. Do you believe that? When somebody cares, God hears our prayers. So let's talk real quick about what happened after that. Peter's out of prison. He goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and scripture says many people had gathered and were praying. And while they were praying, oh God, release Peter. There was a knock at the door. At that very moment. And there was this servant girl there who went to answer the door. And when she told the others that Peter was at the door, they all said, "You're out of your mind. There's no way he's at the door." But then they saw Peter. And they stood astonished. They stood there, astonished. It doesn't sound like they believed that it was actually going to happen, does it? But actually, they did believe. But they stood there with this sense of amazement. They were beside themselves in wonder. Which is very appropriate here, because when God does answer our prayers, when God says yes, that is exactly what should happen. We stand in wonder when prayer works, not because of man's effort to pray, but because of God's work through prayer. God wants to work through prayer. That moment, if you can imagine it, was probably a lot like all those people who stood outside watching the spaceship Unity reach into space. You know, they all knew how hard they had worked on the project, and yet there they were watching it happen. And that's what it's like to have prayer answered. Except that we realize that God was at work through us. Amen? That's how he wants to work. And by the way, not long after this incident, Herod, the king of the Jews, was struck down and killed by an angel. People called him a god, and he gave no glory to the true God in heaven, and he was struck down. He thought he was in control of all of this, but he was not in control at all. But the word of God continued and flourished in spite of this impossible situation. God's will prevailed that day through the prayers of his people. Amen. 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 You know, every last week of the month, we take communion together. And we're going to do that again today. And as we move into communion this morning, I want to invite the band. Come on back up. You guys get yourselves ready. And you'll notice, if this is your first time with us, you'll see tables in each corner. You're welcome to go to any table. We just try to spread out evenly as we get up. If you have a hard time getting up and getting something, just slip your hand up and someone next to you will help you, okay? And then you take the elements back to your seat and you can spend a little time, a couple of moments with the Lord and pray and take the elements. But I just want to say a few more words before we do that. You know, I've lifted up Virgin Galactic a little bit this morning. And, you know, you have to admit that this is one of the pinnacles of man's achievements. I mean, I don't know if it's the greatest one of all time, but it's certainly a good candidate, right? It's amazing to see that. And as amazing as it is to see the spaceship Unity fly up into space, it doesn't even come close in comparison to when our Savior came down to us. Do we know what it took for God to come down to us in the form of man and to lay his life down on the cross? It took a lot. It was the greatest, most purposeful, most earnest act of love the world has ever known. And it came at tremendous personal cost to him. He deliberately descended down to earth. He gave up his position in heaven. He was exposed to pain and ridicule and false accusation. He experienced temptation and agony and anguish. Many did not believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he could do it. But he brought us salvation and he freed us from the bonds of our flesh. And he poured out his blood and he laid his life down for us. Amen. Can we stand together? I'm going to pray and then dismiss you to take the elements. As you're doing that, we're going to start a song, and you're welcome to join in. And then when that song is done, you are welcome to leave or hang around and talk to somebody or pray with someone. My prayer is going to be Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.